Crossroad International Church podcast. We're so glad you joined us. It is our prayer that God will use this message to bring comfort to those who are hurting, give hope to those who find themselves in what seems to be a hopeless situation, and to encourage the one who is struggling through a difficult season of life. For more sermon audio, resources, or if you'd like to contact us, please visit cickuwait.com. We'd love to hear from you.
John, verse 1. There's only one chapter, so chapter 1, verse 1. To the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers who have borne witness of your love before the church. If you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you will do well. Because they went forth for his name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such that we may become fellow workers for the truth. I write to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, does not receive us. Therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds, which he does, prating against us with malicious words, and not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren and forbids those who wish to, putting them out of the church. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God, but he who does evil has not seen God. Demetrius has a good testimony from all, from the truth itself, and we also bear witness, and you know that our witness or our testimony is true. I had many things to write, but I do not wish to write to you with pen and ink. But I hope to see you shortly, and we shall speak face to face. Peace to you. Our friends greet you and greet the friends by name. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. We ask that you would seal your word in our hearts by your Spirit and open our minds now to what we're going to share, that seeds from your word would take root in our hearts and that those seeds would bring forth fruit in our lives and that we would be able to take what we hear today and apply it in our everyday life. We give you the honor and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, John writes this to a friend of his named Gaius. We don't know who he is, but he seems to have been a very good, beloved friend of John. He calls him his child. He calls him beloved several times. And so this is the person that John is writing to. And he says, to my beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Throughout 1 John, 2 John, and into 3 John, he uses the words love and truth a lot. There is a balance throughout these three letters of love and truth. John says that our love needs to be guided by truth. Our love should be guided by the Word of God. And then our truth that we speak must be seasoned in love. So love is based on truth, and the truth is seasoned with love. Truth is not just cold and calculated facts. In Ephesians 4:15, Paul says, speak the truth in love. Let me ask you, how many of you have ever had some truth spoken to you that was not in love? And then you've had truth spoken in love. Now, I don't know about you, your personality, but in my personality, when truth is spoken in love, it's a lot easier to receive it and to swallow it. But when truth is spoken not in love, I have a tendency to bow up, get defensive, and lash back. Am I the only one, or is there anybody else that reacts that way? The truth is still the truth, but the way it is given makes a big difference in how it is received. When we speak the truth, we must speak it in love, not out of a heart of pride and arrogance and self-righteousness. Sometimes we can get that way. Oh, look at me. Look how good I am and how bad you are. And if you were just more like me, you'd be okay. No. We need to be like Jesus, okay? Now, yes, we do need to be like Paul and say, follow me as I follow Jesus. But we're not trying to get people to be like us. We're trying to get people to be like Jesus. Verse 2, he says, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. This is probably the most misused verse in Scripture in parts of the church today. I have heard entire sermons based on this Scripture that John says, I pray that you may prosper, full stop. And the whole message is how God wants you to be rich. And God wants you to have big houses and big cars and big bank accounts and all of these things. That's not what this scripture is saying. This is a typical greeting of a letter of that time, both religious and non-religious. And here's what it actually says. I wish that you would be on a good road to success. That's the literal meaning. I hope, I wish that all may go well with you, that you would have success. And I like the part, and be in health. Literally it says, and I wish that you would not be dying. That's a good thing to say. I hope you're not dying, Matt. You know? Amen? But this was a typical greeting. These two things, that you would be well in everything that you do, that you would be a success in everything that you do, and that you may be in health. And then John adds something different from the typical greeting. As your soul is well. See, all of these things rely on the health of our soul. If our soul is not well, most of the time our body won't be well. All kinds of things can happen. If our soul is not well, we won't be successful in the things that we do for God. And we're going to see in a minute that John had firsthand testimony of how well Gaius' soul was. Verse 3 and 4. Is that this one? Oh, that's an air conditioner. Okay. Oh, it just cut off. Thank you. Came back on. For I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in truth, for no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. See, John was sending, it seems like, sending out itinerant preachers or teachers to go to the churches and to share with them. And then they would come back with reports. And one of the reports that they got was this guy, Gaius, he's an all right dude. He's walking in the truth. He's doing everything that the Word of God says that he is to do. And I came across a little poem that I'd like to read to you by Edgar A. Guest. And the title is, I Would Rather See a Sermon Than Hear One Any Day. I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. I'd rather one should walk with me than merely tell me the way. The eye is a better pupil, more willing than the ear. Fine counsel is confusing, but an example is always clear. And the best of all the preachers are the men who live their creeds. For to see a good put in action is what everybody needs. I can soon learn how to do it if you will let me see it done. I can watch your hands and actions, but your tongue too fast may run. And the lectures you deliver may be very wise and true, but I'd rather get my lessons by observing what you do. For I may misunderstand you and the high advice you give, but there is no misunderstanding how you act and how you live. When I see a deed of kindness, I am eager to be kind. When a weaker brother stumbles and a strong man stands behind, just to see if he can help him, then the wish grows strong in me to become as big and as thoughtful as I know that friend to be. And all travelers can witness that the best guides today is not the one who tells them, but the one who shows the way. One good man teaches many. Men believe what they behold. One deed of kindness noted is worth 40 that are told. Let me restate that. One deed of kindness noted is worth 40 that are told. Who stands with men of honor learns to hold his honor dear. For right living speaks a language which to everyone is clear. Though an able speaker charms me with his eloquence, I say, I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. Parents, that's good advice for raising kids. Amen. As I told you many times, my dad used to tell me, boy, do what I say, don't do what I do. But it didn't work because I wanted to be like my dad. To be like him is to do what he does. Parents, let me ask you, how many times have you ever seen your kids do something and you ask your, where did they learn that? And then you walk by a mirror and you realize where they learned it? Come on now. I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. Many times we witness to people at work or our neighbors or something, and our words sound wonderful, but then our lifestyle negates our testimony. But our lifestyle should complement our testimony. We should be walking what we talk. And then in verses 5 through 8, Gaius is commended for hospitality and generosity. Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers who have borne witness of your love before the church. If you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you do well, because they went forth in his name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such that we may become fellow workers in truth. Here, Gaius is commended for his hospitality. Let me give you a couple of more scriptures about hospitality. Romans chapter 12, verse 13 says, distributing to the needs of the saints, we are given to hospitality. 1 Peter 4, 9, be hospitable to one another without grumbling. And Hebrews 13, 2, do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. So what is hospitality? The Greek word here for hospitality means a lover of strangers. That's hospitality. Hospitality is an act or a practice of being hospitable, that is, the reception and the entertainment of guests, visitors, and strangers with liberality and goodwill. Arnold H. Glasgow was a traveling teacher, and he made this comment. Hospitality is making others feel at home. Some folks make you feel at home as soon as you enter. Others make you feel like you wish you were back home. Now, as a traveling preacher, I've stayed in a lot of homes around the world. And I can talk to this from the opposite way as well. There are many homes that I've been in that made me feel at home immediately. There's other homes I stayed in when I wish I was back home. So hospitality is a two-way street. Those offering hospitality need to do it in love and truth, and those receiving hospitality need to be gracious. I have heard of people, traveling speakers, that have come in and stayed in people's homes, and they give them the schedule of when they eat, when their bath is, when they'll have their tea. That's not being a gracious guest. Okay? Remember one time when we moved to the coast in Kenya, we were told you'll find out how many friends you have that you've never met because you now live on the coast. We had a knock on the gate one day, and it was a group of teachers, and they said, hey, we were told that if we come to your house, you'll put us up for the time we're here. I don't know how many there was, five or six of them. We said, yeah, come on in, throw your sleeping bags on the living room floor, and here's the rules. We homeschool. School starts at 8 o'clock, so you have to have your breakfast done by then. At 8 o'clock, you go to the beach, and you stay at the beach till about 3 when school's done. Then you can come back. And for supper, here's what you have to do for your supper. Our children are memorizing poetry for school. So they will give you their poem, but you have to give us one of your own. And I figured these were all school teachers. They all had some poetry. And so that's what we did. And it was a wonderful time. We had people in and out of our house that we'd never met before because we were the missionaries on the coast, so of course, we would put anybody up that wanted a place to stay. But you need to be wise. If my wife was gone for some reason, no lady stayed in my house. If I was gone, no guy stayed in my house. I hear one, that's right. Amen. You know, we need to be wise as a serpent, but gentle as doves. See, Jesus' teaching on hospitality was different than what the world taught at that time. In Luke 14, 12 to 14, Jesus says, "You are to be hospitable to people that can no way pay you back." You know, the world says, "I'll scratch your back if you scratch my back." You know? "I'll help you if you can help me." But Jesus says that's not the way it works in the kingdom. In the kingdom, we find people that there is no way possible that they could ever pay us back, could ever do anything for us, and we are hospitable to them. Just as God welcomed me into his kingdom, unworthy, undeserving, hostile, an enemy, then we need to do that to others. And then it says that Gaius not only took them into his home, these traveling preachers or teachers, but then he also helped them on their way. And a lot of what we do in missions is based on what Gaius did here. He took them in, and then when they left, he helped them on their way. If someone is out there doing the work of the Lord, missionary or traveling ministries, and in their travels they happen to come our way, this is saying that we ought to take them in, and then when we leave, we help them on their way. And when we do that, we become fellow workers with those people. I give the testimony, when my wife and I first got saved, there was a couple in our church that took us under their wing. His name was A.J. Parker, and he was better known as Sweetie. And I wasn't too sure I wanted to call a guy Sweetie, until I got to know him and he was Sweetie. Okay, that's... And then his wife's name was Mootsie. So Mootsie and Sweetie. And they took us under their wing, and we were with them so much that people thought I was their son. Their son was away at Bible college. And I mean, Sweetie would do things like he would call me up on a Thursday or a Friday and he said, "There's a full gospel businessman's breakfast on Saturday morning. I will pick you up at 8 o'clock and you will go with me." Or he'd call me up and he'd say, "There's a widow in town and her yard needs to be mowed. I will come get you and we will go mow her yard." And they discipled us. They, you know, Kath was with Mootsie and things, with ladies' meetings, and we were in a Bible study in their house, a life group with them. We were with them all the time. And they poured into our lives. As far as I know, Sweetie never traveled to Africa, never traveled to India. He never traveled to the 40-something nations that I've ministered in. But he was a fellow worker in every person I preached to, every church I planted, because he poured into my life. There's a song, I don't know who sings it, it talks about when we get to heaven, there's going to be a line of people coming up saying thank you. Because you remember that missionary came to your church and told what he was doing, and you put an offering, some money in the offering, and he came to my village and preached the gospel, and now I'm in heaven, thank you. See, when we sow into what other people are doing, we become fellow workers with them. We share in their reward. But the opposite of that is true. Because last week we talked about there were some people that they were told, do not have anything to do with these people. Don't be hospitable to them. Because if you do, you are partaking in their evil. So we have to be very careful where we put our help, where we put our offerings, where we put our missions giving, because we want to make sure that we are partaking in someone's good, not in their evil. And that brings us to the next section, verses 9 through 12. What example do you follow? And he says, I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, does not receive us. Therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds, which he does, prating against us with malicious words, and not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren, and he forbids those who do, who wish to, putting them out of the church. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God, and he who does evil has not seen God. Demetrius has a good testimony from all, from the truth itself, and we also bear witness, and you know our testimony is true. It says that this guy, Diotrephes, was someone who loved preeminence. And that word preeminence is very interesting in the Greek language. And here is what it means. Friendship with being first. To have preeminence means I want to be first. And my friendship is with me being first. So I'll be your friend if it helps me be first. I'll do things in the church if it helps me be first. In other words, I do things as a stepping stone or as a ladder to get to be the boss, the big one. It seems that he was a leader in the church. He was friendly with the idea of being first in the church. He wanted to be an authority in the church to where nothing happened unless he approved it. And because he wanted to be in charge, John writes that he did not receive us. He didn't receive the people that I sent, even to the place that he kicked them out of the church. See, he refused to recognize the people that God recognized, and he refused to fellowship with the guys or the people that God fellowshipped with. And it says that that was an evil practice. Don't follow that example. But then it uses this guy, Demetrius, and he says he's got a great testimony. And it's a threefold testimony. First, he has a good testimony from all the people. Everybody speaks well of him. And that's wonderful when everybody speaks well of you. But then it goes further and it says, and he has a testimony of the truth itself. Because he walked in the truth. And then John says, and I give testimony that Demetrius is a good guy. You want to know who you're supposed to fellowship with? You want to know who are people or that's good soil to sow into? Ask other brothers and sisters about those people. Don't just get a letter or a newsletter from a missionary or a worker in some other country that you've never met, and they write a good letter, so you say, oh, we need to support them. No, you need to do some research and find out that they are who they say they are, that they are doing what God has called them to do. Because we are responsible for what we do with what God has given us. I remember in Kenya, we had church on Sunday morning in what was a bar on Saturday night. And like we came in to set up last night, we would set up on Sunday morning and have to mop up the vomit and pick up the beer bottles and the whiskey bottles and everything and clean up what was a bar the night before to turn it into a place for church. And I kind of got in trouble by some of our members because the drunks that were passed out, I invited them to church. Hey, don't leave, just join us. Or we'd go out on the street and find people to bring them in. And sometimes folks would say, well, why did you bring those folks into the church? Well, because that's who the church is for. Amen? The church is a hospital for folks with sick souls. And you and I are the nurses and the doctors that when they come in, we help them get better. Amen? So, guys, when you come to church, bring anybody you want. Amen? Let me say that again. Bring anybody you want. Because this building isn't the church. It's a wonderful facility, and praise God we have it, but we are the church. We could be meeting in a bar and still be the church. We met in a strip mall in San Antonio, Texas for a while in our church, and on this end was a health club, and on this end was a bar, and the church was in the middle. So you could come to that strip zone, that strip mall, and you could be body, soul, or spirit, just depending on which door you walked in. But we need to be a hospital for folks that are looking for help. Can't remember who it was. He says, my desire, let me build a rescue mission at the gates of hell. Amen. And then John gives a farewell greeting. He says, I had many things to write, but I do not wish to write to you with pen and ink. But I hope to see you shortly, and we shall speak face to face. Peace to you, our friends greet you, and greet the friends by name. This is almost the same ending that he had in 2 John, and he says he wants to meet them face to face. As I said last week, be careful with social media. Some things should only be said face to face. Before you send that tweet, before you send that email, before you send that WhatsApp reply, think, if I was with this person and we were talking face to face, would I say that? If I personally had to suffer the consequences of the reaction they're going to have by what I'm about to say in this written message, would I still say it? And if the answer is no, then don't send it. Amen? That's one of the dangers of social media. People are saying things, being very hurtful on social media that they would not do in a face-to-face confrontation. And John is saying, there are some things that I need to tell you, but I can't do it in a letter because you may take it the wrong way. I want to make sure I'm there face-to-face so that we can sort out the issues and sort out any problems that may happen because of what I need to tell you. And then he closes with the customary closing of a letter. We may say, you know, I was taught in school, you always close your letter sincerely and your name. Well, at this time, the common ending was peace be with you or peace to you. And then John says, our friends greet you. So undoubtedly, there were some other people with John that Gaius knew, and he said, they greet you. And then he said, greet our friends that are there by name. None of these letters say, hey, I'm John, I'm sending you this letter. They just start out the elder. But I think these people knew John well enough, they knew who it was. If you get an email from me, or you get a WhatsApp from me, or you get a text message from me, many times I'll just sign it, Pastor. And I think most of you know who it is. Well, normally it comes up, my phone number's in your contact list, so my name comes up immediately anyway. But what I'm saying is there's a lot of times that when we write to people, we don't have to tell them our name. They know who it is by the tone of the letter, and I think that's what it was with John. This guy Gaius was a good friend, and he's commending him for his hospitality and his generosity. So let me ask you, if John was writing to us, and I thought about this as I was preparing this message, if John was writing to me today, would he commend me for my hospitality and my generosity? If he was writing about my lifestyle, would I be the example of good or the example of evil? So I don't want a raise of hands of whose lifestyle is an example of good and who's an example of evil, but I just want you to think about it. Think about yesterday at work. You don't have to go back any further, just yesterday. Was your lifestyle yesterday at work an example that people should follow or an example that you hope they forget about? So if it was one that you hope they forget about, then Sunday when you go to work, do something different. John commended Gaius for his lifestyle. He lived and he walked in the truth. And he was hospitable and he was generous. How can we duplicate that action today in our lives? And then John rebuked Diotrephes for his lifestyle and the way he treated people. And so what forms would this disobedient actions take in my life today? What would be some of the things that I may do that I'm not even conscious of that could be unhospitable, stingy, ungenerous, not receiving people that I should be receiving? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We ask that you would continue to seal your word in our hearts by your Holy Spirit. Father, help us to be hospitable and generous in our lifestyle. Help us to walk in the truth of your word. And Father, when we need to speak truth to other people, let us do it in love, that the truth is simmered in love and the truth is spoken in love. Father, let our love be based upon truth and not just on feelings or commonality with other people. Because, Father, you have called us to love everyone, even the unlovely. And Father, we think of the example that you loved us before we ever loved you. Even when we were your enemies, you gave the ultimate sacrifice for us. Father, this short little letter, 230-something words, can be life-changing if we will apply its principles to our lives. Father, help us to live a lifestyle that's pleasing to you and that is based upon the truth of your word. Help us to entertain strangers because it is your command. Father, we want to be known as a people that are hospitable and generous. We want to be a place to where those that are hurting can come and find healing. Father, we thank you for being with this body of believers today. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand for the benediction, please? And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. And may you go from this place walking in the truth of God's word. In Jesus' name, amen.